Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of March 2018. Guys, I got some news for you. You probably already heard this 50 times before, but you're wonderful. You're a masterpiece. You're beautifully made. You're important to people because you're important to me. Highly favored by your creator, whether that is God or the law of averages and physics working in tandem, you're thirsty for knowledge and addicted to wonder. You, my friend, are an oddball just like me. And here on this show, your family and we are one. This is episode 51 of the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, your monthly paranormal variety show. Guys, thanks so much for once again giving me your time. As you know, this show is really the world to me. And as you can probably hear in my voice, there's a little sadness because, well, my entire family has changed 100% since our last episode. I am now down to two kids and one cat. So I guess I got some explaining to do. If you've been following my show now for quite some time, you probably know, yeah, I'm actually the foster parent to a medically fragile little boy. And yeah, as predicted by me in my last show, he actually went home on the 25th of February. So, you know, what can I say? The broken heart still beats. I've never been so proud of myself. I've never been so proud of my wife. I've never been so proud of my little girl, little boy, who played a major part in his recovery, by the way. It's one of those bittersweet times in my life, I guess you could say. There's no doubt in my world right now that there's a lot of heartache. And I'm just going to go throw this out with everybody who listens to my show. Thank you so much for being on this journey with me. You would not believe how therapeutic it's been for me as a podcaster to be able to talk about these things on my show. This is a paranormal variety show. And, you know, reality is my personal life isn't really what's on display, but I do try to bring you guys in just for a minute or two every month just to kind of check in with you and let you know how things are going on my end because, well, it's my show and I do what I want. but for all you guys and gals who have stuck around and heard the story of me as a foster parent and, you know, I just hope you guys can take some inspiration from that. Six months of my life I've dedicated to this child, there's no doubt. And my other kids as well, don't get me wrong. But yeah, he took up a lot of my time, there's no doubt about that. And every step of the way, I still managed to get a show out for you guys. I even managed to get a bonus episode out at Christmas time. I was just so thrilled to be able to do that. And you know, what can I say? I got to have a moment the other day that I think, if there is a God up there, I think there is, personally, but you might not. But if there is a God up there, he'd be looking down and he would very much be smiling, I believe, on that moment when I handed that little boy to his mom and told her I'm so proud of her and said goodbye. So what can I say? I'm down to two kids now. and one cat. So what about this one cat? Well, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but, you know, 4 or 5 episodes ago, I told you guys that we had to get the family cat put down. Now, I don't know if my wife Stephanie is just compensating, but, good God, she came home with a kitten the other day, and I must admit, at first I was very resistant to it. You know, the last thing I need is more on my plate right now, but the little cat, what can I say? It's been a wonderful little friend to have. She's kept me very, very much, what's the word I'm here, focused on her a little bit, you know, off the negativity of the loss of a foster son. So I do appreciate that, and, you know, if Honey could understand English, and you know, I like to think that maybe she could. I like to say thank you, Honey. Your first shout out. Welcome to the Mallard clan. I enjoy your 15 to 20 years. Please don't claw up my stuff. guys. I'm trying to hold it together. I really am. But you know what? The broken heart still beats. And that's something I'm going to tell you about being a foster parent, you know? You look at this situation I'm in right now where he's gone home and there's a huge hole in my heart and a huge hole in my house. But you gotta understand, out of that negativity, that's the incubation stage, man. There's growth going on here. That's the hatching stage. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hatching greatness from this. There's no doubt about it. You know, things might not look too good for you right now. You know, you might have a brick keeping your couch leg up, or, you know, you might have like a broken car in your driveway you can't get to start, or a relationship with your parents that's broken is not working, and, you know, like, or maybe you just lost your foster son like I did. Let me tell you something about loss. That's where greatness comes from. That's where greatness comes from. And that's where my greatness is going to be. I'm not going to let this kill me. In fact, this is only going to help me on the road to being what I want to be. And that's a difference maker. And thanks to me and my family and our efforts now, there's one less child in care in Newfoundland. And that is what it's all about. Now, can't say this whole episode's a big bummer, because you know what? This episode's actually awesome, and it's going to be full of good stuff, so I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. And I will admit that sometimes even I need a little pep put back in my step, so I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time today, and I'm actually going to read a couple of the reviews that have been left, and messages and points and stuff like that have been left on some of the various platforms. You know, a review from iTunes, I got a couple of reviews on Podbean as well, and I just want to throw it out there because I'd love for you guys, you know, there's over 700 subscribers on Podbean alone, if you guys were to put in some messages, you know, tell me what you like about the show, tell me what you don't like about the show, maybe make a suggestion for a guest or anything like that, I'd really, really appreciate it. But some of us don't do that. Some of us don't put the, you know, shall we say, the review out there because we just don't really know what to say. So, you know, maybe this will give you guys some ideas. This one came from DebW999. This is all the way back in 2017 on October 5th. This says, I love Odd to Newfoundland. John is an awesome host. He treats everything with respect while also throwing in a lot of humor. I'm sorry I only recently found it, but now I have the whole back catalog to catch up on. My favorite episodes so far are the ones with Dale Jarvis and the very first episode where John talks about what got him into the paranormal. It's a sweet and touching story. Well, thank you, Deb. If you're listening now, I do appreciate that, even though it's been over a year since you left that review. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we kind of feel like we need to be critical. We kind of feel like we need to be critical of ourselves sometimes. And, you know, if I listen to my first episode, I'm going to look back and go, oh my God, the sound quality is horrible. And, oh, I'm rambling and blah, blah, blah. But like, no, man, that message is still loud and clear. My father is still here and he shouldn't be. And that's a paranormal thing in itself, in my opinion. So thank you, Deb, for that. A little reminder. I got another one from Newfie Wrestling. Yeah, this is a comment that was on episode 39. Glad I found the podcast. I have a more skeptical bent, but it's nice to be listening to a local voice, and the stories are entertaining. I'm also a fan of wrestling scene here in Newfoundland. I've seen CEW a couple of times, as well as LCW in the past, but it seems like NEW is currently King of the Hill. Ha ha. And, of course, that's a little throwback to the fact that I used to wrestle. I was a pro wrestler for over 10 years here in Newfoundland. That's probably an old friend of mine who's probably just checking in to see how Johnny Chaos is doing. The Green Machine. Yes, that is a marijuana reference. Yes, I probably will come back, you know, once marijuana is legalized. I think it's an awesome gimmick. But anyway, do appreciate that, Newfie Wrestling. Thanks for the shout-out. Got another one from Bowden Online. She says, fantastic episode. She said this, of course, on our last episode, episode 50. Fantastic episode. Can't wait for part 2. And, of course, part 2 came out on Cat Ward's channel not too long ago. So thank you so much for the views. So that kind of gives you an idea of, you know, what you could leave. And, you know, when you guys leave a review on iTunes or you guys leave a review on Stitcher or wherever you're listening to, Podbean, whatever, whenever you guys do that, it just gives people a sense for what the show is all about, which is a paranormal variety show. Now, of course, I've been on this show now for almost 10 whole minutes, and I haven't talked paranormal barely at all. So I think it's time we kind of dove into that with this month's paranormal news. I've had enough, and I'm not going to take it no more. I'm going on strike. Could you please pass me a magazine? A suspect goes on toilet strike for 37 days is our first story. You know what? What can I say? I feel like I need to dump this one on you guys. A man who was arrested after swallowing drugs has been refusing to go to the bathroom for over a month. The bizarre situation follows the arrest of a 24-year-old suspect who swallowed the evidence, a package of drugs, shortly before he was apprehended by police officers in Essex, England. Since then, he's been under round-the-clock surveillance in his prison cell so that the suspect package can be retrieved after he goes to the toilet. My God. Unfortunately, however, the man has been refusing to go and has now managed to avoid doing so for a staggering 37 days. I can barely go 37 minutes sometimes. The previous record for this is believed to be 33 days. So, like, is he going to use the money the Guinness Book of World Records given to get himself out of the toilet or out of the jail? Or, God, his toilet strike has now been going on so long that there's a real danger that he might actually die. You know, never mind the drugs that's inside him. Like, how is that possible? Authorities are continuing to apply for custody extensions to keep the suspect confined. However, it remains unclear how the situation will resolve itself. There is potential for something going seriously wrong here, his lawyer stated. We're in an arena of risk of death, there's no doubt. So there you have it. 37 days. Man, like, what can I say? Hopefully the court is not too backed up that month. And, you know, by the end of next month, please God, he'll be where he needs to be. Time to move on. So, like, I'm a total ignorant moron sometimes. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I can admit it. And I got into a heated argument not too long ago with somebody because, well, you know, I kind of have a thing for listening to music while I do other things around the house. And, you know, John Williams is someone I've listened to a lot. The composer, you know, the guy behind Star Wars, Jaws, Superman, Schindler's List, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, multiple Oscar winning, you know, Grammy and Golden Globe Award winning John Williams. Well, I found out, although I kind of was like, there's no way this is true, but I found out that he actually got a start in Newfoundland in a weird way. And I actually pulled up this article from the National Post. I mean, I had to look into this because I thought that was so interesting. That John Williams, the guy who's like responsible for some of the most important sci-fi music ever, is like, he got a start doing Newfoundland stuff. So I got to throw this out there. Like, that's just crazy. He made a cinematic debut by scoring the music to a hokey Newfoundland tourist flick. Like, this is forever ago. And I'm going to talk a little tiny bit about that. It is a score. The music evokes emotions. And this was Williams' first kick at the can. And this comes from an article by a fellow by the name Joe O'Connor, who sat down with a fellow whose last name was Norman. Norman, a Newfoundlander, was on a moose hunting trip when he spoke with him recently about the long-lost movie of the famous American's connection to it. The independent filmmaker and sometimes archivist with the province initially connected the dots between Williams and You Are Welcome, which is the name of the film, several years ago while cataloging old and otherwise garbage bin-bound material for Atlantic Films, a local and now defunct production company. John Williams was right on the film as the music credit. I wondered if it could be the same composer who did Jaws and Superman and Star Wars. And of course, once he found out, it surely was him, which is unreal. So you know what? I know this is not going to sound anything like you guys are probably like used to. But why don't you take a little listen, just for the hell of it, to the music from just the opening of that film. It's called You Are Welcome, composed by John Williams, the man behind Jaws and Star Wars. Have a little listen. interesting stuff. To me, it sounds more like a Disney thing, but that's cool. So there you have it. John Williams, the man behind some of the most iconic music ever, got to start with a crappy movie about Newfoundland. Wicked. Okay. Okay, so there's a man who claims to be a time traveler. Have you guys heard about this yet? A man who claims to have traveled back in time has made several predictions about the future. The anonymous individual who identifies himself as Noah agreed to be interviewed in a video that was recently uploaded to controversial Apex TV YouTube channel. Some of his claims about the future include AI will become extremely advanced but will choose to coexist with humans. Trump will be reelected in 2020. The president of the United States in 2030 will be someone called Ilana Raminki. Global warming will cause temperatures in the U.S. to increase and in Europe to decrease. Humans will reach Mars and invent time travel by the year 2028. So there you go, guys. 10 years down, we'll be able to go back in time. While answering questions during the interview, Noah was allegedly hooked up to a lie detector test, which, according to the channel, consistently determined that he was telling the truth. Critics have, however, argued that the lie detector isn't even visible in the frame and that even if his answers were reading as true, he may have simply found a way to fool the machine. And, of course, there's also the very real, highly likely possibility that the whole thing is a hoax. But, man, there's no fun in saying that. Hopefully Doc Emeritus shows up sometime soon. Man, oh, man. Newfoundland has had the best winter ever. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. There's been very little snow. We finally got a snowstorm the other day. I had to shovel my driveway like 3 times. We had over 30 centimeters of snow in one night. But other than that, we've been very, very blessed with our winter this year. It seemed more like a extended fall. So this next story, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I like to know what kind of ecosystems are underneath my snow that I shovel in my driveway. Well, scientists to explore the mystery ecosystem is the next one I'm going to throw at you guys. A new expedition is set to investigate an unexplored ecosystem hidden beneath a huge Antarctic iceberg. Led by the British Antarctic Survey, or BAS, the team will leave the Falklands next week to explore a previously uncharted region of the seafloor that has until recently been hidden beneath an iceberg. The huge chunk of ice, which has been dubbed A68, broke off from the Larsen Sea ice shelf in July. The expedition is considered particularly urgent because the area will see rapid change after being exposed to sunlight for the first time in up to 120,000 years. Calving of the A68 provides us with a unique opportunity to study marine life as it responds to dramatic environmental change, said marine biologist and expedition leader Dr. Katrin Lintz. It's important we get there quickly before the undersea environment changes as sunlight enters the water and new species begin to colonize. We put together a team with a wide range of scientific skills so that we can collect as much information as possible in a short time. It's very exciting. The team will use underwater cameras and other specialized equipment to photograph what lies on the seafloor and to collect samples of the animals, microbes, and plankton that live there. Now is the time to address fundamental questions about the sustainability of polar continental shelves under climate change, said Professor David Vaughn. We need to be bold and be bold on this one. So that's really interesting stuff. You know, you're literally creating a new environment. 120,000 years since that environment seen light, once that ice shelf fell away. Wow, that'd be really cool and very, very weird because, you know, we haven't really observed that before. And Lord only knows we're not very good with animals, like the thylacine, for example. Here's something that we hunted into non-existence. Very, very strange animal. But you know what? We're still learning about them. CT scans reveal baby thylacines for the first time. Scientists have used modern scanning techniques to discover what thylacine infants really looked like. One of the best-known examples of species wiped out by human hunting practices, the thylacine was a distinctive carnivorous marsupial native to Australia, Tasmania, and New Guinea. The last known specimen held in captivity died at Hobart Zoo back in 1936, and while there have been fleeting sightings of the species since then, it has been long considered extinct. Despite this, however, the preservation of 13 thylacine infants, or joeys, has now provided scientists with a unique opportunity to learn more about the internal anatomy of these long, long lost marsupials. By taking CT scans of the specimens, Australian and Czech scientists have discovered that the infant's thylacines did not develop in their dog-like form until quite late in their development. An animation showing the results can be found on YouTube. Just look up dissecting Tasmanian tiger specimens using 3D rendering. Very, very interesting. You know, it's too bad that we've only now taken the interest in these animals now they're long, long gone. But you know what? I've seen Jurassic Park. I've seen Jurassic World. And kind of can't wait for, you know, the next edition of that movie. It's only a matter of time before we can clone these animals and bring them back. But the question still remains, what benefit is it to bring it back other than to reintroduce a species and to take that off our conscience that we are indeed the reason why that entire species is no longer here? Seems like our world gets smaller and smaller with thoughts like that, hey? I bet you can agree. But what if I told you you couldn't be any farther from the truth when it comes to the universe? Now, you've all heard that the universe is expanding faster and faster, but what if I told you we had our calculations wrong yet again for like the 20th time? The universe is expanding even faster than predicted. New data from Hubble Space Telescope has shown that the universe is expanding faster than expected. Known as the Hubble constant, the rate at which the universe is expanding has previously determined by studying the cosmic background radiation left over from the Big Bang. By using data from the European Space Agency's Planck spacecraft, physicists calculated that the actual expansion rate was approximately 67 kilometers per second per megaparsec. Now, however, a team of researchers using data from the Hubble Space Telescope have come up with a completely different figure. Yeah, add six more kilometers, guys. 73 kilometers per second per megaparsec. The community is really grappling with understanding the meaning of this discrepancy, said lead researcher, Nobel laureate, and co-discoverer of dark energy, Adam Riess. It is possible that dark matter interacts with normal matter more strongly than expected, that Einstein's cosmological constant may not quite be so constant after all. So there you go, Einstein. There you go. Gravitational waves, yep, but the constant, I don't know. While it's possible dark energy plays a role, to me it looks more and more like it could be a new particle or something about the way dark matter interacts, said Riess. We normally assume dark matter is something we call a WIMP, a weakly interacting massive particle for all you nerds out there like Johnny. Maybe it's not so weakly interacting, or as weakly as we thought. That would change things that would cause something like what we see here. And, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd because cosmic background radiation, there's actually bruising on that in our universe. And it's one of the leading reasons, I think, in science in a way, that there may have been multiple universes. And, I look at that as an idea that there's multiverses and they might be bumping into each other. And that's something I love to play with, especially when, you know, with my whole ghost thing I got going on. But I'm going to throw this out there to you guys, right? It just goes to show you what science really is. And science is a bunch of theories that eventually do get disproven by a better theory. Okay? Anyway, guys, we've had a guy who's been on poop strike forever. The legendary John Williams getting a start in Newfoundland with a hokey tourist flick. A man who claims he's from the future. Scientists exploring a brand new, brand spanking new biosystem. You know, once that ice shelf fell. Thylacine babies and a universe that's actually a hell of a lot fasterly expanding than we thought. That freaks me out. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
Thanks, John. Welcome to your MUFON Minute for March 2018. First of all, I want to thank John for being a fantastic collaborator and a friend. He is wildly supportive, and I want to thank him for his support as I work on my doctorate. Some January stats to get us started off, direct from the MUFON Case Management System. Canada saw 44 reports, the UK had 45, and the US saw a whopping 495. Overall, a total of 690 experiences were reported into the system from all over the world. As you plan your winter getaways, it may be useful to know the top sightings from the US came from California with 67, Florida with 46, and Texas, which had 24. The stats that I always look forward to the most are the shapes of the objects seen and the reported distance from the witness. Shapes typically include spheres, triangles, circles, discs, star-like, cylinder, fireball, eggs, squares or rectangulars, and so on. Lots of different shapes. For January 2018, the top three shapes were spherical, which had 112 reports, followed by triangular with 7, and there was a category, not applicable, which had 67. So I would be interested to learn a bit more about those cases. Interestingly, there was 10 reported Saturn-like objects in one dumbbell-type shape. Congrats go out to Ryan Stacey, who has been promoted to the chief investigator for MUFON Canada. He is a fantastic guy who has had to look at some of my data for me in some of our investigations. He's really great. Locally, I'm working on a case of a sighting in July of 2017. It is a very interesting daytime one with a really high quality witness. I will provide some more information in the future, but for now I'm seeking information. If you have had any sightings in July 2017 in the St. John's area, let me know. In particular, I'm looking for daytime sightings over the Kenmount Road area. I also have an interesting and unusual video that I would love some feedback on. I'll be working with John to get that up on social media for the show. It was reported to me as a possible video of an extraterrestrial entity, and I'd be really interested in seeing your feedback. If you are planning your summer vacation, I want to let you know about our very own Canadian Alien Cosmic Expo, a conference on scientific study of extraterrestrial life and occurrences that's taking place in Toronto on June the 22nd to the 24th. A lot of our members in MUFON in Ontario are really involved in the organization of this event. Speakers include Linda Moulton Howe, Grant Cameron, and Richard Dolan. As the nights get longer and the snow begins to melt, don't forget to take a moment to watch the skies. Then, who knows, you may have a few friends watching you back. If you do see anything unusual, please report it to www.mufon.com. For all things UFO in Newfoundland and Labrador, please be sure to check out the Newfoundland and Labrador UFO Network on Facebook. If you have any information regarding the cases that I have talked about in this little MUFON minute, please be sure to email me at l.gilbert@mun.ca. Thank you so much, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddities.
Thanks, Laura. But now it's time for Oddities. 10 very strange facts about a very strange world. And I want to give credit where credit is due. This one's going out to Amanda Lynette Madere. She is, got her own website. And I thought this would be a very interesting top 10 signs. Okay, 10 oddities for you guys that you may be getting signs from your deceased loved ones. Now, usually oddities are a scientific fact, but I think this is interesting because, you know what? Even the most skeptical of people have kind of come across this, and yeah, we lose someone in our life, and we get little signs from them, or at least we think we do. So, there you go. I'll take the scientific hat off oddities this month, seeing as how our paranormal news was more based in fact this month. And let's talk about it. The 10 most common signs from your deceased loved one. Thank you, Amanda Lynette Madere. You have a wonderful website, and I just want to give you some props here. Number one, dream visitations. This is the most common way to be visited by those in spirit, both by deceased loved ones and spirit guides. While you may talk to yourself out of a spirit visitation dream, even if you have one, these types of dreams are much different than regular dreams. In spirit visitation dreams, a deceased loved one often enters the dream and is surrounded by some sort of light. In the dream, while they may talk to you or ask you to deliver a message, they will usually offer some sort of comfort that they are okay, everything is peaceful, and that they made it to the other side comfortably. Sensing their presence, many people report sensing the presence of their loved one around them after passing. So this is number two, sensing their presence. You might notice a shift when they are around, either a change in the energy or actual movement in the air. Perhaps at night you notice pressure in the bed next to you, as if someone go into bed with you, or you might feel like someone is sitting next to you in the evenings while you read a book. This is a common type of visit. If you were very close with the person you feel is visiting you, you were able to notice their presence while they were alive, then yeah, you still had this ability after they have shifted from physical to spirit form. They are the same essence they were with body and now without body. Number three, feeling their touch. A hug, a brush of your hair, holding your hand, or a gentle touch on your back. These are some of the most comforting forms of connection that can happen. Feeling their touch is most common to sense in the days directly following your deceased loved one's passing. However, some of those in spirit do continue to visit long after their passing using the ability of perceived touch. This ability to touch can also manifest in feeling them not touch you, but an object near you, for instance, noticing someone sit or lay down in the bed next to you. Number four, smelling their fragrance. The ability to smell the fragrance from a deceased loved one or spirit is called clairgustance. These visits commonly reported as the fragrance of cigarette or cigar smoke, perfume, flowers, or cooking. If you smell cigar smoke and no one smokes in your house, expect your deceased grandfather. Chances are, it's him and he's letting you know he's around visiting and saying hello. Jeez. I wonder if they had the patch in the afterlife. Hearing their voice is number five. This is called clairaudience. It is possible to hear the voice of your deceased loved one externally, as though they are actually speaking to you in human form through thought or word transference. Internal clairaudience is the most common way to hear a voice, as the hearing happens inside your mind. Why? Those in spirit no longer have a voice box, so creating an external noise is very hard. Do you talk to your husband, grandmother, or best friend on the other side in your mind? Take a moment and wait and see if you can hear a response. Usually, you can. Number six, unexpected electrical activity. Now, there's one that I've actually experienced quite a lot. We all have energy, and energy runs through all things, including electrical devices. For those on the other side, not only is it fun to learn how to use energy to connect, many of those in heaven learn that the energy in electrical devices is quite easy to manipulate. For this reason, it is actually quite common for those in spirit to manipulate TV, lights, and toys to get your attention. They can turn things on and off, change channels, and make things move. Songs on the radio that are meaningful to you or your lost loved one are a favorite way for those on the other side to deliver you messages that you may need or hear right at the exact moment with electricity. You know, if they're going to do that, the least they can do is, you know, kind of pay for part of my light bill. Number seven, a phone call. The day after my father passed over, I received several phone calls from unknown numbers with nothing but static on the other line. While discussing this event with friends, they recounted similar experiences in the days following the passing of their loved one. Since a phone is an electrical object, manipulating the energy to make a phone call is not much different than other electric activity. This sign could occur in the months or years following the crossing of a loved one. It seems to be most common in immediate days following the transition. Number eight, receiving a symbolic message, sign, coincidence, or synchronicity. Your deceased loved ones are often very eager to let you know they are part of your life and with you, and when you least expect it, you may get blindsided. While many people can feel their deceased loved ones watching over them, sometimes it's hard to be that perceptive or to be sure that we felt what we felt was really what we thought it was. So those in spirit will provide us with signs that we cannot ignore. Once you receive this type of sign, time and time again, you'll know this is a message from the other side. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. The signs can and will come to you in a variety of ways, and the key is to keep your eye open for synchronicities and anything out of the ordinary. Wondering where and what to look for? Oh, it could be any number of stuff. Small objects like feathers, coins, stones, etc. Spirits like to place things in our path that were significant to them or significant to us over and over again. So there you go. Number nine, movement. Sometimes those in spirit will move objects to get your attention. Does the same photograph keep falling? Is the same thing always being misplaced or lost while in your possession? Consider this method of communication as it is most commonly sent to those whose attention is hard to reach. Also, moving objects will oftentimes create noise, which can startle your awareness too. Just throwing that out there to you. Number 10, and of course it's the holy grail of ghost hunters all over the world, is seeing an apparition. A flat photo, hologram, partial, or full. Believe it or not, seeing an apparition while you are awake with your eyes open is one of the least common methods on the list. Though it's the most widely cited in popular media, due to its shock value, it's quite rare. And you can learn more about apparitions just by going on the internet, folks. But just because your deceased loved one isn't appearing to you in full ghost form yet, doesn't mean they haven't attempted contact in one of the many other ways and methods on the lists. Guys, I hope you really enjoyed your 10 most common ways, you know, those common signs from your deceased loved ones. You know, out of these is usually 10 strange but true facts about our world. And I just feel like the paranormal news was a little too science-based, so yeah, what the heck. We turned it on its head. 10 most common signs from your deceased loved ones. I hope you enjoyed your oddities, guys. It's time to bring on our special guest. Don't you dare go away.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Tonight's guest is a reality practitioner, a soul generous practitioner, a past life practitioner, a life guide practitioner, a Reiki master, and when she got time, she's also a freelance hairstylist. A freelance mobile hairstylist, so to speak, at the E Factor. Guys, tonight's guest is a homegrown, you got it, homegrown guest. It's about time I had another fellow Newfoundlander on the podcast. I get to bring in my new friend, someone who I think is going to be just so much fun to talk to, Betty Collins. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, John. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. And I'll say the same thing I said when we first hooked up earlier today on the phone. I'm a lot better now that I got you on the line. Because just talking to you, I can't help but smile. I can't help it. I can feel you smiling every time he talks. That's important to me.
Excellent.
So first and foremost, Betty, you're a Newfoundlander born and raised, and you'll be one until you die. And
I will.
So am I. But you know what? This place, let's be honest, it's the middle of the winter. It's kind of getting to everybody. People are shut in. We've had London weather this entire winter. It's kind of dark out. Yeah. But you are what I call a light worker. You deal with a lot of different stuff. I think it'd be just a wonderful step in the right direction to talk about how you deal with the gray, foggy days here in Newfoundland. Tell me a little bit how you became, well, really a practitioner of many different sorts. What started you on this journey?
46 years ago, John, over 46 years ago, I started hairstyling. I started when I was 3. I really loved touching people's heads, like getting in contact with them, using hair as a platform, like a canvas to draw on. So that's what I did. I met a girl about 2 years in, 3 years, who was really different. This girl was different to the point of everybody used to look at her and go like, okay, what is she about? She, one side of her head was like, her hair was like half an inch long all over her head. One side was white. The other side was black. She had her nose pierced. She had a chain from her nose to her ear. She was just so cool. And I was this young thing. We would go for lunch and we would have these discussions about there's something more. There's something more than what we see and what we're doing every day. And we used to say, if anybody can hear us, we'll be arrested, because of the stuff that we used to talk about back then. And then I just kept hairstyling, changed different places that I went, you know, it worked. I was all that while pulling away from the Orthodox Church, feeling there's more to all of this, like this girl and I've talked about. A few years later, I met my sister-in-law to be. She and I would have these super deep discussions, and especially with a few drinks in at night on the weekend.
I'm drinking right now. Continue.
Good for you.
Old Sam, if you're wondering. Old Sam, if you're wondering.
Good for you. Good for you. A man after my heart. A good shot of rum. Nothing wrong with you, buddy.
I don't know what chakra just warmed up, but it's definitely feeling good in my throat.
All of them.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Continue.
No, that's okay. So it just continued on till I mentioned Toastmasters to you earlier. I decided at one point, probably 10 or 12 years ago, I'm going to get into public speaking. So the long and the short, I ended up joining Toastmasters, met all of these amazing people, had back issues, was talking to a woman one night at one of the meetings. She looked at me and she said, "You look like you have back issues." And I said, "Yeah, I do." She said, "Would you mind if my friend and I work on you?" And I said, "No, not at all." That was my first experience with long distance energy healing. And it was amazing because these ladies walked me right through my second back surgery with no pain at all. And it was the type of surgery, I'm sure, if they had been allowed and had come in the OR with me, I wouldn't have needed sedation. I'm pretty sure of that. That was mind blowing. So that was kind of, I had time to sit back and kind of think. And for a good, I guess now, a good 10 years, I'm just immersed in it. It's just, it's energy work is my life. And I don't know what else to call it. Like, I'm a hairstylist first, and I'm incorporating now therapies into my hairstyling. But I love being able to, you know, somebody comes to me and they've got a pain in their elbow or a pain in their shoulder, lay my hands on, and it works. It's amazing.
So this is jump in there right now. It's no secret. All the oddballs, that's what I call people who listen to my show, they're just like me, they're a bunch of oddballs, the odd Newfoundland. You get where I'm coming from. It's not an insult, it's a friendly thing. They're all oddballs, and all the oddballs out there know that I've just got really bad feet right now. Like, I've got severe plantar fasciitis. I've been doing everything I can to help myself to fix it, but, you know, it is kind of weighing on me. What would you do to somebody in my situation just to throw it out there?
Well, I think if you came and sat with me and we were just sitting having a little therapy session, I'd probably say, John, just put your foot up and let's see what I can do. And that would be for me, literally, energy would come through me and it channels through and into the area where you need it. I've done Reiki, and I've got my master's level in Reiki, and I've also done another energy healing called Rahani. Rahani is a celestial. Okay. So Reiki is third dimensional. Rahani is fifth dimensional. So it vibrates at a higher vibration. And so all of these, like, I've learned about vibration and how it works. That's what we're sending. I'm just sending vibrations of energy that heal. And you know what? It's been working for thousands of years. And a lot of us are just now coming out of the closet. But because you're a paranormal podcast too, I do paranormal work too. I do extraterrestrial work too. And the paranormal work is wicked because this city and this whole province is so incredibly nuts with paranormal activity and extraterrestrial activity. From what I've been told, and what I was told over the past year, there is more paranormal and extraterrestrial activity here than there is anywhere else in the world.
There you go. Yeah. There you have it. I hope it's not my fault. People aren't listening to my show.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. They came long before you. Long before you did.
Tell me a little tiny bit about your past life regression work. That's something that's always fascinated me. Like, I had world-renowned psychic Tana Hoy on my show earlier last year, and he was just such an awesome guest. But anyway, he kind of explained to me, you know, like, one of the reasons why I'm so into the paranormal and why I love paranormal investigation and stuff like that is because, you know, in a past life, I was actually a little bit of a magician, somebody who liked to show off the weirdness to other people. And he said that may have something to do with it. You know, and it was always interesting how he just came up with that right away. I was like, yeah, that's really cool. What would it be like to sit with Betty Collins and do a past life regression? Because, like, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, okay, so somewhere around the line, there was a wrestler in my... wrestler somewhere along my line. There was probably someone who was in the, you know, shooting rifles and guns because I love online games. You know,
so, like, before we get into you, let me tell you this. You have small children, right?
Of course I do.
So how old are your kids?
Okay. So I got three children right now. Yeah. I've got one who's going to be two next week. Okay. Next week, 24th. Yeah, we'll say 10 days or so from Wednesday. How about that? A couple weeks from now. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be two. I got a little girl who's seven. And my foster child right now is going to be 1 year old in March.
Oh, bless her heart. So the one-year-old and two-year-old, the one-year-old, is she talking yet?
Okay, the one-year-old's a boy.
No,
he's definitely not, because he's actually corrected. So he's more like a seven-month-old, right?
Oh, okay. And your daughter, if you have him for any length of time, as he grows, your daughter may help him with his speech. Your two-year-old daughter.
Son,
oh my God.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
Your two-year-old son still has the memories of being before he came here. So he may say to you within the next couple of years, Daddy, when I was a little girl, ask him where he lived when he was a little girl. I didn't have the knowledge when my daughter was little and saying things, Mommy, when I was a little boy, I used to say to her, you were never a little boy. I know the difference now. She was a little boy. Mommy, when I was an old lady, and instead of me asking her where she lived, oh, don't be silly, you were never. It's like, yes, she was. So past life regression with me. I sit you down and we do a little bit of hypnotherapy to get you relaxed, to get you just kind of concentrating on you, get your head inside your head, keep you in there. Then we take you on the journey. We ask you to go back to a time when we have to set an intention before we go in. Like, why do you want to go back? There's a reason everybody wants to go back. But was I a magician in a past life? That's a valid point. So we'd go back to the time when you were a magician. And the very first thing we do is ask you to look at your feet and tell me what you see. And then we work our way up. Doing a past life regression lets you heal traumas that happened in that life that you've carried into this one. Because we take you right to the trauma, whatever it is. We don't let you get immersed in it, but you see it. So it's like you're looking at it through a window. You can see what's been happening. And then we ask you to visit every possible scenario from that life to this and have a conversation with yourself back then and heal whatever you're bringing forward. I have memories of past lives now, like they're coming back to me slowly but surely. And I know it's past life stuff. I just have this knowing. And I don't know what that is. And when you said I was a light worker, that's very dear to me because I just want to sprinkle it everywhere. And I know this is a family program, so I'm just going to sprinkle that stuff everywhere.
I think too, a lot of people get confused when they hear the word work, because that to me tells you right away it's not a hobby. It's something you truly do believe in, and it's something you're 100% behind. You know, the past life stuff in particular, I think it'd be really interesting just for me. I know I'd be very interested in that because I don't know. I just, it's kind of like that whole ancestry.ca thing, I guess, but in a whole different light. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I had one guy have a past life done. And he visited two past lives. And when he came out, I have the room is really, really still. The lights are really low. So when he comes out of hypnosis and when anybody comes out of hypnosis, you're still in this little bit of a hypnotic state. So he mentioned to me an issue that he was having with his throat. And I said, want to go back in? And he said, sure. So we went back in and it was wild what we found out. This young man in a past life was a martial arts instructor hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. He was teaching one of his students, and he actually did the move with his leg when he was telling me. It was a kick that he was teaching this student, but he caught the student across the throat. The student's wife was there watching. Everybody was really upset with what happened, including him as the instructor. You know, he was sitting in my chair actually crying because of what had happened. And so he had a conversation with the wife and she forgave him. And, you know, it wasn't his fault. John, honest to God, when the session was over, he floated out through the door. Hmm. He floated. He was levitating like 2 inches off the ground. I was watching him. It's like, yeah, he's happy. Okay.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like me, you never say it from listening to me, but like a lot of times I'm a pretty angry dude. I'll be honest. I get pretty flustered pretty quick. And yeah. I've always kind of wondered if that has something to do with maybe one of my past lives. That's really interesting.
It very well could have something to do with a past life. It could be something that you brought forward that you haven't dealt with yet.
There you go. Another thing too, like I... And once again, you know, just jump back into what you're into, because there is more than just a past life regression thing. It seems to me like you like the idea of fixing others, or helping them, so to speak. Maybe that's much. I don't like the word fixing because that means you want to change them. But I like the idea of helping them help themselves. That make more sense?
John, when I was 5, that I told my mother I wanted to be a missionary nurse. And anybody who knows me now goes, yeah, right.
You know, you're allowed to drink if you're...
No, you're not allowed to drink if you're a missionary nurse.
They all do, though. Tell me a tiny bit about your Reiki work. You know, like... A lot of people out there have an idea what Reiki is, but what would a Reiki session with you be like?
Well, I don't do full body Reiki sessions anymore, but I've decided not to. I think I'm too hyper for that. However, when I was doing Reiki sessions, so you're lying on a massage therapy bed, nice, comfortable pillow over you, covered completely. And most people get on the bed with, you know, fully clothed, nice, comfortable blanket so you don't get cold. And then we start just with hands somewhere between a quarter and a half an inch away from your body, sometimes touching your body, going where the energy feels heavy. And you can do this yourself. If you rub your two hands together really, 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 really quickly.
Okay, I'm gonna do that right now.
Right? Rub them.
Wait, and you gotta take off the wedding ring. That really hurt. Hang on. Oh God. Okay. Betty, rub them. That hurt. Okay, hang on.
Oh, you poor thing.
Okay. Rub.
I'm okay, good. Okay, now move them about 2 inches apart. Mm-hmm. Feel that. Just feel it. Mm. You feel that?
Warm.
Yeah, and it's like if you do it fast enough, you'll feel the electricity. And that's what we're doing. We're just, and because I've received attunements with Reiki and Rahani, then I just call it in. I just ask to be a channel so that this energy can come through me to heal you. That's the way it works. And I've had my nieces are just, it's incredible because they were the two, I still think about them. There's two in particular who I worked on. I did quite a bit of work on both of them. And they get up off the table. It's like, okay, so where's that big heat lamp that you had? It's like, what? What heat lamp? I didn't have a heat lamp. It's like, what was all that heat? Like, that was me. That was the energy moving around where it needed to move. And one in particular was ever so sad. And for a full week after the treatment, she was going around apparently with a smile on her face. So, hey, it works. It works.
Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
And you know, I can tell you love it because I'm actually looking at your face right now in the video. And you're just all smiles. You're just all smiles talking about it. And I love that because that's what I do. I bring people's passions within the paranormal, of course.
You do, to the
forefront, or even people who just have an odd background. You know what I mean? Like anybody who's a little bit different, a little bit quirky. I like that. One thing I will say though, it sounds to me like you have quite the client base. My goodness, you must have helped quite a lot of people. How many people in Newfoundland do you think you've helped by now?
Not as many as I would like to, because I'd like to be able to just stand here, put my two hands up, and help the whole entire world. Mm-hmm. That's like people often say, what would you do if you won $1 million? Well, I wouldn't have it very long because I'd give it all away. That's right. Because I just help has been my whole thing my entire life. I can't tell you how many people at one point I was working. I was just hairstyling at home and I had 200 clients a month.
Wow.
That was for hairstyling.
That's crazy amount of people, though. Like that's you realize that's not normal, right? They're attracted to you for a reason.
I'm not normal, John. Anyway, what is the definition of normal? Like, can somebody tell me what that is?
Well, I think of normal, I think the factory worker type who's just doing the same thing over and over again. As I worked that job for many years and just comfortable in what they do, and it's just the same thing over and over and over. Sounds to me like you've probably put a whole lot of, shall we say, energy into each one of these clients. And now that I think about it, here you are cutting their hair within just a few inches of them constantly.
And working in their energy field.
Yes. Tell me a little tiny bit about the field. And that's something I guess I wanted to get into anyway, but this is a great segue because here you are. You got some lovely man or woman in your house. You're cutting their hair. You're so close to them and you feel like they, what? Do you feel that they need a treatment? Like, how does that work?
Well, I remember, actually, you just brought me back to something. I had one client in particular when I was working at a salon, and this was a gentleman who didn't like to talk, mm-hmm. right? He just did not like to talk, and I knew it. So he came, he sat in my chair, I cut his hair. He was an elderly man, close to 90, sat in my chair, I cut his hair. I never opened my mouth because I knew he didn't want me yip, yip, yip in his ear. He just wanted to relax. He actually thanked me when he was on his way out the door. When I was finished, it takes me, when I do a haircut, it takes me anywhere from, a half an hour, not even a half an hour, 40 minutes to an hour to do a haircut. Like if I cut your hair, it'd take me 40 minutes to an hour to do it. That's, I'm really precise. But, and even though he was sitting in my chair that long, he slept. He closed his eyes and literally slept and thanked me for not talking to him.
That's one area, right?
So that's one area. Then there's the other area of somebody who comes in and literally spills it. Your energy field extends way, way outside, but your personal space is 45 inches around you, okay, in a circumference, not 45 inches from your body. So when I'm standing behind you doing a haircut or shampooing you, and I do wicked scalp massages, by the way.
shameless plug. I enjoy wicked scalp massages, by the way.
Oh, do you really? Perfect.
I'm afraid all my badness might rub off on you. Uh-oh.
No, it couldn't. No. It's the reverse, actually. So when I'm working with a person, I can generally just, because I've been doing this a while now, and because I know that what I'm feeling is not, I'm not pushing it away anymore. There was a time when I would get all of this information, a download, and I would think I was going crazy. It's like, okay, why do I know this? But now I understand, okay, these are messages that I'm getting for people. This is stuff I'm getting for people. So I'm standing here very innocently, you know, cutting your hair or whatever, giving you this scalp massage, but I can feel what you're going through. So we can work with that or not. It's totally up to you. And I can generally tell if you came in and sat in my chair and I asked you, okay, so what would you like for me to do with your hair? You would explain to me or not. Like some people are, I don't know. What do you think? So then there'll be an open discussion. But then we've got an hour, just about an hour, that we can discuss whatever you like. We can talk about the house that you live in, and you see things at night, you see shadows and whatnot. I can clear that for you. You tell me about a pain that you've got somewhere, or an aunt who's sick, or an uncle who's sick. I can help you with that. You name it. I came up with a little byline not long ago, and I don't know where it came from. Well, I do know where it came from. It came from what I source. And I am the sum total. This is the byline. I am the sum total of everything you do not know. Ask me a question. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you where you can find the answer, or I will find it for you.
Wow. See, this makes me want, like, you have to cut my hair now.
See, and that's where it begins. That's where my whole work begins. It begins with the hairstyling and moves into everything else.
Which makes great sense. And reality is, in life, everything starts in a smaller way that has a greater purpose, right? And that makes great sense to me. And reality of it is, there's probably a lot of people out there, and they're kind of like shut off from society, so to speak. And the closest thing they're ever going to get to that kind of contact with something might be their hairdresser. So yep. I kind of feel like you guys have the bartender thing going on sometimes, where everyone just spills their guts.
And that's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. The very first time I heard a woman's story, and it was a story of her life. I was probably hairstyling on the floor doing hair, probably a month. I remember that night going home from work and feeling like, oh my God, oh my God. Is this everybody's life? Is this what I'm going to have to do? Was this? And taking it in and having nightmares about it. And so I learned a little technique, and I don't even know how I learned it. I don't know. I have no idea. People started telling me things. This was back in the 70s. Okay? There was a lot of stuff on the go back then, and there still is. But for some reason, like a bartender, people think they can tell their hairdresser everything, and we're like closed boxes. We're just going to shut up and say nothing. That's what I do. Because I learned, I'm being told stuff about bank managing and these things I shouldn't know. I learned to drop it as soon as they left. As soon as I saw their back go through the door, whatever they told me was gone. And somebody could come to me and say, what did Mrs. Jones, I heard you and Mrs. Jones talking. What were you talking about? It's like, I can't even remember. And wow. But it was only 10 minutes ago. It's like, oh, I can't remember. Is there a story down the line?
And I guess that's great, though, in a way, because that way you don't get yourself burned out. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I don't get myself burned out, and I'm not passing along information that I have no business passing along.
Yes, that's true, too. So, so I guess you have to be close to somebody to pick up on these things. Do you pick up on this kind of stuff just even talking to me on the phone, or is it the tone of my voice or anything like that? Or
I can. And I'm best early in the morning or right after meditation, and I know that if I want to give messages, if I want to let people hear messages that I've got, I need to do a meditation before I speak to you, because I've got to put myself in that place where you go when you sleep at night.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Because first thing in the morning, I'm like, it's, it's like verbal diarrhea. If you asked me, like, oh my God, I'm having this issue with such and such and such and such early in the morning, you will get an answer that will blow your mind. And I'm like, where did that come from?
That's pretty incredible, actually. You know what? You just gave me a little memory, man. There's been so many times I've woke up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know if it's a reoccurring dream or something like that, but there's been a couple of times where I woke up and it seemed like a light string to my head was being pulled away, and looked like it had eyes. And as I came to and watched it go away, it was like I couldn't move. It was the paralysis thing going on there. And then, like, as it backs off and disappears, I'm just like, this is the creepiest thing I ever looked at. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm so fascinated by it. I got to stare at it. What is this thing? It felt like a string was attached to my head and just kind of pulled off. And then I woke up and I was like, man, if I ever have a light worker or I talk to someone who's into that kind of stuff, I'd love to chat with them and say, hey, what the heck was that?
So yeah, I'm getting an awful lot of hits about that one. Did it scare you? Was it scary initially?
It was a little bit scary, but like, not really. It was more like it looked scary, but I didn't get the feeling like I should be afraid of it.
So
it looked grotesque. It was almost like it had a weird looking face and red eye thing, and then it just kind of disappeared. And I didn't really feel like I should be super scared of it, right?
Okay. So can I ask what area of town you live in?
Cowan Heights.
Okay. How old is the house?
About 40 years.
John, do you have things in your house that you've gotten at like garage sales and secondhand stores, stuff like that?
I'm a paranormal investigator. I collect haunted objects.
Okay. So something, oh dear. So something you have in your house, it sounds like it's an attachment to something that's in your house, and it wakes you because there's a reason it's waking you and it's wanting you to see something.
Interesting.
And again, I can help you with that.
That's interesting stuff. Talk to me a little tiny bit about, you know, you mentioned before you love the paranormal and stuff like that. Newfoundland is super haunted. I should know. I literally wrote the book on electronic voice phenomena here. Come on.
There you go.
But reality is, this stuff is all connected. There's the same energy that is in us when we die dissipates and goes somewhere else. So what happens to somebody? The good question, I guess, for you would be, when somebody passes on, are those fields gone with them?
Nope.
They're still around their body?
Yep. They stay like, okay. So when I have in-house meditations here at my house, and we do it on generally on the new, on the full moon. This month we're going to do the new moon because there is no full moon in February. A lot of women, when they come, especially the women with long hair, will all do the same thing and will all say the same thing. And they'll kind of rub the back of their head. It's like, somebody was touching my hair. Yeah, it's Dad. Sorry. Dad was a flirt and he was very handsome and he spends a lot of time here. He actually scared the life right out of my husband one night and it was so funny. My husband wouldn't even come downstairs for the longest time. And this down in my estimation, where my space is a really sacred space. So my laundry room was also down here. So he was sitting here at the computer and he had the phone in his hand, waiting for a phone call from someone. He said he laid the phone on the computer desk. He walked over to the laundry room to change the laundry from the washer to the dryer. And he heard clunk on the floor behind him. And it was the phone. So he just beat it up over the stairs. He's like, no, I'm not going down. And of course, I'd look at him and I'd say, could you go downstairs and get something out of the dryer for me? Or are you afraid? feet.
I'd be kind of freaked out.
Oh, shut up. I'm not afraid.
It just goes to prove, though, that we should not be doing laundry at all. This is a horrible idea. Okay, so obviously someone like me is probably going to be like, I don't know if I'd be like your favorite client or your worst nightmare, because I'm pretty much bathed in the paranormal. Like, I've been to every haunted location there is in Newfoundland. I've literally lived there. Like, we're talking 30 investigations from some of those haunted places ever. And John, like, just completely 100% love the paranormal. Can't get enough of it. But I will say this. Is someone like me going to come to you, and is it going to be a different experience? Because I already have that, what's the word I'm looking here for? I've already kind of been, I like to use the word bathed.
I get it.
Yeah. Like, with someone like me who comes to you, like, automatically, would you feel differently about them? Nope. Just like someone who might be a medium or anything like that? Like, would you pick up on that stuff pretty much right away?
Probably. I'm not saying 100% yes, because I don't know, because I haven't been in your company yet.
Okay.
Some people are really closed. Their energy is really closed off. Now, if I'm doing your hair, it's a totally different thing. I'm in your energy field. You don't have a choice. I've got my hands on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm right there. And generally, like I said, I can feel it. But when you said you've been to all of the places in the world, there's one down on Park Avenue, buddy, in Mount Pearl. I'm telling you what, it's a church. You need to investigate it.
Which one?
It's in the same parking lot as the nursing home. I think it's Presentation House.
Next to Davis Place.
What's it called? There's a sign on the pole outside called the Lighthouse of Hope.
Where is this too? So this is on Park Avenue. It's not where old Park Avenue Elementary used to be. It's a bit farther up than that.
Across the street on the other side.
It's a bit up from that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's shaped like an angel. Like, it's got a round front with two big wings.
Yep.
You can ask Bobby too. We were in that building. When you say recurring dream, I used to have a recurring dream that doesn't come back anymore because I visited it, and it was that bloody church.
Ah.
And it was wild because we went in the basement, and it was like, I cannot do this. I started to walk up the steps, and as I did, I was putting my hands on the wall. There was a door here and a door here and a door here and a door here. And when we got up to the top, Bobby said, Betty, I've got to tell you something. And I said, okay, tell me what. And she said, every single place you put your hand, do you realize there was a door frame under it? I said, yeah, because I dreamt about it every freaking night. Yes. And some really horrible stuff happened in that place.
Mm.
And I have even thought, because of the work I do, I could clear it. But something keeps telling me, don't, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Stay away from it.
So you're going to send the lonely paranormal investigator in there, but you're not going in? Listen, we're going to have to go together. That's it. We're going together.
Well, it's just that.
Listen, let me go in and get recordings of what's going on and learn something about the place. Then you go in.
There you go.
How does that sound?
I'm there.
There you go. It's interesting. So many people have come to me over the last couple, like usually the last 2 years, like me and you've actually been contacting each other a little tiny bit.
Yes.
And it's been really weird. And it's been kind of like these inkling feelings, like you need to contact Betty and just say this to her.
Yeah.
And like, just touch base. Cause I actually wanted you on the show last year.
That's right.
And things just fall through. That mainly has to do with the fact that, you know, I do my show once a month and there's been 60 plus guests. I mean, I'm pretty busy with it all, but
there were
definitely a few times too, and there were many times where it was kind of like, okay, like people contact me knowing I'm a paranormal investigator, like, you know, I got this thing in my house, I want to get rid of it. I'm like, I'm just there to document. That's what I do. I document, I find it, I go through everything.
Send them here.
Exactly. So I've actually given your name to people.
Okay.
And told them, you need to go talk to Billy Collins, right? So it's interesting. I think a lot of people, they get kind of put off right away because they're like, who's that? I'm like, I don't really know, but now I do. So I'm like, now I can tell them to download this episode and listen to it, right?
Yes. Well, in the Soul Genesis work, we do home and property clearings. And this winter, 2 winters ago, September 2016, I did a paranormal course with the Okanagan medium. She was here and lived for 2 years, and she did a lot of paranormal work. And she's like, the biggest thing with her is She said, you don't do paranormal work for the money. You do it to help. There needs to be an energy exchange, all right? Because I'm helping you clear this out. But the energy exchange could be, I don't know. So you're in the supermarket and you got a cart full. Could you please let the person behind you with two items go ahead of you? That's an energy exchange.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I've never done. I've been on over 100 investigations and never once have I ever charged. I've been offered a bed and place to sleep before and meals. People have fed me a few times. I've taken that. Yeah.
That's an energy exchange.
Yeah.
Because, well, you need, it doesn't matter what the work is. When it comes to work, and I use the work, the word work lightly, I think if you enjoy what you do, you're not working. So, basically, never worked because I love every single thing that I do. And I think I'm really, really lucky because I'm one of those people who I managed to find my career at 17 years old. And I'm here I am all these years later and just having a ball, loving it all. And I just want to help anybody who's out there listening. I just want to help. And if they're saying, well, what can you help me with? Name it.
Yeah, I love that. So let's say I came to you as a client.
Yep.
And just erase everything I told you already about me being an investigator and stuff like that. Just get it all out of your head. And I looked at you and said, you know what? I'm kind of feeling down. I'm a giver by nature. I give. You know, like, what would you do to somebody who comes to you and says, you know, I'm feeling down or I'm feeling depressed or I don't feel good. I don't feel good in my own skin. I'm just the most, like when I think of light work, I'm thinking of someone who's going to be having those thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, what would you do if I walked into your space right now and was like, please help? What would Betty Collins do?
So the very first thing I do is we talk about why, where the feeling came from and why it's there. If necessary, I'd take out my tarot cards, my oracle cards, my pendulums, my...
You have tarot cards? I didn't know this.
God, tarot cards? Yes, I read tarot cards.
You read tarot cards?
Yeah. Yeah. And oracle cards too.
Really?
And
oh my
I use
God,
my
pendulums. I love tarot.
I love and my pendulums, of course, are my right arm for everything. I don't take my pendulum. I've seen people take it to the supermarket. I don't do that. But if I have a question that I can't answer, my pendulum will answer it for me. And I ask, when I'm using my pendulum, I ask that my internal filters, because we all have internal filters, that my internal filters be bypassed so I can get an answer direct from source.
Man, that's so cool. So, like, how long has it been since you did a tarot reading?
24 hours.
What? Have you got your cards with you?
I got my cards in my hand all the time.
Can you give me a tarot reading right now? Oh, my God. I had no idea. I would have told you to do this earlier.
Are you serious?
I totally would have. Oh, my gosh.
And I don't have them on my desk.
That's okay. Go get them. I'll pause. That's okay.
Okay.
Go get them. Oh, my God. This is going to be so cool. Oh, my God. This is going to be so awesome. I'm so pumped for this.
Okay.
I did not expect this at all. So, listen, for everyone listening at home right now, this is a complete shocker. I had no idea you did tarot at all. If I had known, I would have asked you even before we went on air, would you like to do a reading with me? Because I love having my cards read. And, there's so many changes and stuff going on in my life right now. This is going to be so cool.
I'm not your typical reader. I don't read. I'm not going to look and say, oh, my God, you know, this is going to, you're going to lose somebody in the next six months or you're going to win the lottery or anything like that. I'll tell you, I'm going to just do a three card.
Okay.
A little quick three card. Do you have a question that you need an answer to?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I've got so many.
Just one in particular. One now, John, one.
Okay. Well, I guess the first, anybody who's listening to my show know that, you know, this is coming out March 1st, and within that week, my little foster child is going to be going home to mommy and daddy.
Okay.
So, obviously, this means a couple of things. It means the end of that situation, that 6 months of my life. It also means that there's new things coming.
Mm-hmm.
What's headed my way? It's a great question to ask because I'm actually pretty much in limbo on that one. And Rightfully so, though. I've never been so happy to work myself out of a job, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Has it not been easy?
Oh, it's had its challenges, but like I said, I'm very happy that I worked myself out of that job, because reality of it is, he's healthy enough to go home to mom and dad, right?
Yeah, he is actually.
Yeah.
And so I have three cards in front of me. The first card is showing me that you're in that, that's where you are. You're in that state of kind of, it's been a difficult job, but okay. So it's the Five of Cups. It's a woman. She's standing with her arms, like she's holding, she's got a globe, like an orb in her hand. The moon is shining really brightly down on her, and it's like she's accepting a gift. So part of this I see is, that woman is not representing you. I think the woman is representing the child's mother. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that this mother is ready to accept this child with open arms. There are going to be some emotions involved, and there have been a lot of emotions involved. I can see by the cups, the water coming out of the cups. It's been an emotional time, but this child, I think, is ready, and this mother is ready to take this child back by the looks of that. Mm-hmm. Then the next one is the Three of Pentacles, and I can see there's a message coming to you. There's two men and a woman, and even on the cards, if you looked at the cards, you'd say that's three men. I see three men, two men and a woman. You are standing on steps, accepting from these three people. So somebody's coming to you with messages that they've got a lot of importance, and there's going to be a change just because of this message that you've got here. Do you have, is there a Mrs. Mallard?
Yep, purchase? My wife. Yep. Well, Mrs. Malter, she didn't take my last name. We won't hold that against her.
I'm seeing a woman here. John, were you planning on having more children?
well, more foster children. Yes.
Because this woman looks, she looks really happy. And I'm seeing that this woman is your wife. Mm. She's your woman.
Uh-oh.
She's the crown that she's wearing is, it looks almost like a castle, and she looks really happy, but the way she's standing, it's almost as if she's with child or pregnant. Uh-oh. And she's looking down at Poppy. So I'm seeing rest and relaxation. There's water running behind her, and it's beautiful. It's like a stream and a waterfall. So this woman is going to be beside you, but it looks like the way she's got her hand. Okay, I got to pull another card because that's not explaining enough to me. So,
this is getting awesome. What do you mean my wife is going to be pregnant? What? wait a second. Does that mean I'm getting laid this year? That's awesome. All right.
You're too fond to be saying that.
I'm refusing to edit that part out. I'm refusing.
So the last card is saying that every single thing that you want is coming to you.
Ooh.
All of it. It's the Wheel of Fortune. Ooh. So you've paid your money, you've taken your chances, and buddy, it's all coming to you.
Mm.
All of it. There are some people that you're going to want to, over the next probably 6 months, you're probably going to move away from them. Mm. Because they're no longer serving you. There are new people coming into your life who will definitely serve you. You got really good stuff coming.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It is exciting. And one more just for good. And it's the Ten of Swords, which is a card that represents, to me, it represents you kind of standing your ground and saying, you know what, I'm here. I'm doing what I'm doing. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. Whatever I want to do, it's mine. I'm doing it. The hands are pointing. Yours is up like this with the sword. Oh, yeah. You got it all. It's all coming to you. You just need to be patient. But there are three people in particular who you will get messages from within the next 6 months.
Interesting. So what do you mean by messages exactly? Do you mean like guidance?
Yes. messages that will be life-changing for you.
Ooh, interesting. Ooh. I love that. I love it. I'm so glad. See, I had no idea you did tarot at all. And the moment you said, I was like, oh my God, we have got to get you to read my cards. Because like you'd be the coolest friend ever. So I can go to your house and you can cut my hair. Yeah. And you can give me a tarot reading. Yeah. And then you can give me a little cleansing to help me on my way.
And I can give you a lovely massage to go along with it.
Oh, lovely. Mind See? The ears. But the reality of it is, this is what it's all about. The smile on my face right now, just hear that. That's so great. There's good things coming my way. My wife might get knocked up. This is going to be awesome.
Well, she did. It was the picture showed her. She's got this lovely little roundness in her belly.
Uh-oh.
And even saying it, it's like, just even with the cards put away, it's like, yeah, I can see that happening. If that child is not born before the end of the year, she will be pregnant before the end of this year.
Oh my God.
There's a couple of people actually I'm looking at going, you don't even know you're going to have a kid next year.
Like, how do you keep that stuff to yourself? Like, you walk well, by
I've got one girlfriend in particular who has one granddaughter, and she keeps saying she will never have another. I know I'm not going to have any more grandchildren. It's like, yeah, you were before the end of this year, and she won't believe it. So I don't say it anymore. It's like na 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 boo boo. I know, and you don't.
Betty, before we close off and take our leave here, I want to ask a question. I think is very important for everyone who comes on my show.
Sure.
What's your dream come true?
What's my dream come true?
Yeah.
What I do.
Yeah. So what can I do to help you make this dream a reality? What can I do to help you? I think. With this podcast, there's going to be some advertisement for you here locally, which is what I want, what you do. So let's go ahead. Let's beat the red drum, so to speak, and say everything that, you know, potential clientele out there who might want to come see Betty need to know. Where do they find you online?
On Facebook, I have my own private page, Betty Collins. I also have a business page, Betty Collins, the E-Factor or E-Factor. I have a YouTube channel, Betty Collins E-Factor YouTube channel, and I'm working on a website. So that will be up within the next 3 months, I would say. I will have that done and going.
So cool. Yeah. So cool.
And I give out my cell number simply because that's how people find me. And it's 709-693-0632. I prefer text simply because I know I'll get it. Lots of times my phone is on silent, and because especially when I'm working. And I'll see the text there as opposed to missing the call.
So there you have it, folks. If you're in the St. John's area, you need your hair cut. You need your chakras realigned. You need some pain work. My goodness, I can think of 1,000 things that could be going on with you. You got to go see.
I do solo dances long distance as well. I have clients in the States and in Western Canada I've never met and never spoken to.
Really? See, I did not know that. See, that's so interesting. And if all that's not enough, while she's cutting your hair, she might even read your cards for you. I'm so glad to have Betty Collins as my guest tonight. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Odd the Newfoundland. Have yourself a great night, Betty.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, @ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.